Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Let me know what you like about the show, any particular guests you've really enjoyed, testimonies that have really spoken to you. Most importantly, let me know how Catholic Sports Radio has helped you in your faith life. Please help me spread the word about the show. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others to listen in as well. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. As for my ministry moment for this episode, how many times do you see a picture, and it could be video or a still photo, but think of how common it is to see a team huddled around their coach. I'm especially thinking of football, and particularly the entire team, maybe at practice, all standing around, usually in a semicircle, listening to their coach. Of course, we see it in the other sports too, basketball and hockey. I'm picturing a timeout and everyone is at the bench. But these images, and I know you're picturing it in your head right now, they illustrate how powerful those moments can be. Players listening so intently, hanging on the coach's every word. Of course, this also happens in the locker room when everyone is hearing from their coach before they go out into competition. And it shows you what great influence there can be if used properly. So many times in the Bible, we read stories of massive crowds all gathered around in much the same way, but not listening to a coach. They were hanging on every word of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, share the good news of Jesus Christ with those huddled around you. Yes, perhaps even in a sports setting. You hear a lot of guests on this show giving witness to how they are doing it. In John 21:17, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Let's nourish those around us with something far longer lasting, something far more satisfying than winning a sports game by helping others get to heaven. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest recently directed a Catholic men's conference in Texas and is currently studying for candidacy for a permanent diaconate program in his diocese. On the sports side, he spent many years in athletic training, both with college teams as well as the then NFL Houston Oilers. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Andy Saunier.
Bruce, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So right off the bat, Andy, explain to the audience where specifically in Texas you are and how you and your wife did with Hurricane Laura. How are things as of right now?
I live in Orange, Texas, which is southeast Texas. If you're driving I-10 from Louisiana, we're the first exit after you cross the Texas line. And yeah, about 5 weeks, 6 weeks ago, I guess, Hurricane Laura came through here. It caused some damage here in Orange, but really hit southwest Louisiana very hard. My hometown is in Vinton, Louisiana, and they were devastated. Lake Charles, Louisiana, just completely devastated. And they've got years of recovery ahead of them. So they could definitely all use plenty of prayers.
And I think, did you lose power yourself for, I think, a week or so, maybe?
We did. A little over a week, we lost power here in Orange. But over across the border in Louisiana, there were a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, some places, even up to 4 weeks in some places before they got power back.
So how did you end up living where you are? Because you weren't even born in Texas.
No, I was born and raised in Vent, Louisiana. Spent the first almost 50 years of my life, well, up to about 53 years of my life, actually, there.
Wow.
And I met my wife in 2014. She was from here in Orange. And just through God's will and different things that happened in our lives, we ended up here in Orange. After we got married, we lived in Louisiana for a few years, but then we eventually moved here last year.
And just take the audience back to those very early years when you were just a child growing up in Louisiana. What did your family life look like? And of course, faith life.
Yeah, I grew up on a farm, very small town, very rural setting. My dad farmed rice and soybeans. From my earliest memories, I spent with him. We were glued together, my dad and I. And, you know, the earliest memories I have was weekday mass with my dad, you know, before the crack of dawn. I mean, very early in the morning. When we'd walk out of mass, sometimes it was still dark.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So that was a farmer's life, though. You know, the day started very early. Because when the sun was up, if you weren't working, you were burning daylight.
Hmm. Well, we'll come back to the mention that I made during the intro of your studying for the permanent diaconate. But to your immediate family, that's probably not a surprise given the experience you had as a young boy.
Yeah. As a kid, I was very in tune with my faith. You know, we grew up in church, went to Catholic school for a couple of years in middle school. And it was there where I had an experience between my seventh and eighth grade year. I went to a seminary retreat, and you know, I really felt Jesus speak to me on a personal level, and I really felt the calling to the priesthood at the time. And regretfully, I let that calling pass, but I can't really regret it because God's got a plan for all of us, and. I think he's got other things still in store for me in the future. But, you know, we make our own decisions. We have free will. But I know that calling was there. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, so speaking of your calling, in college, you were already starting into doing work in athletic training. So what was it about that field that you felt called to serve athletes in that way?
You know, as a kid, I loved sports. I was glued to the TV, you know, on Sundays watching football, college football on Saturdays, basketball, baseball, you name it. I wanted to watch it. You know, I spent most of my time out in the fields, you know, so I didn't really have the opportunity to play a lot of sports when I was a kid because, you know, helping out on the farm was more important. But I did have my share of time to play a little bit of peewee football, and little league baseball, things like that. But, you know, that attraction to sports stayed with me, you know. And when I was in high school, I served a little bit as a student manager and a student trainer. Hmm. And it opened up an avenue for me to go to college.
So speaking of which, McNeese State University, where you went, has produced some notable sports names from former sure. NBA player Joe Dumars to right. Kavika Pittman, who played in the NFL for 8 years. Right. At the time that you went there, Andy, were you still thinking somewhere in the back of your head about that childhood call to the priesthood, or were you hoping to parlay the athletic training work into an NFL job, or maybe was it both? What was your mindset back then?
You know, my faith never really left me, but it did take a sort of a backseat to some of my personal goals, and my sights were set on athletic training and having a career in that field. Mm. When I went to McNeese, my goal was to go into physical therapy. Mm-hmm. I was going to go to physical therapy school and have that dual role as a physical therapist and athletic trainer, which opens up more doors for you. My grades just wasn't good enough to get into physical therapy school. So I chose the education route and majored in education with an emphasis in sports medicine.
Gotcha. Well, listeners like you, I do, of course, want to hear Andy talk about his time working for the NFL's Houston Oilers. But first, the last two episodes had been recorded very closely together. So on episode 89, I believe I was mentioning that someone had contacted me saying they were sending me a check. And that has since arrived here, but after I had already recorded episode 90. So I have actually already sent off the email too, but now I can say thank you, quote unquote, on the air to that individual for that contribution. At the same time, I do come before you to humbly ask you to prayerfully consider what you are comfortable contributing that will help me keep up with various costs that I'm having to take on out of my own pocket since I don't have any sponsors and I don't get any income from doing this every week. Understand that this is my ministry, and I do hope that some facet of the work that I do is helping you in some way with your faith life, even if it's testimony from a particular guest that I find and I book and then I interview. On the website catholicsportsradio.net, you can support this ministry by way of the Donate to CSR button that you'll see there on the website. And by the way, in doing so, it also tells me that you enjoy and want to see me continue all that I do with Catholic Sports Radio. As you've heard me say before, this contribution that I'm publicly saying thank you for is just the latest donor who has opted to send me a check through the U.S. mail. You can do the same, especially if you don't like the idea of putting credit card information online. Secure as I know that is, by just emailing me through the contact section of the website to get the address for me to send to. Otherwise, on CatholicSportsRadio.net, look for the Donate to CSR button, and you will notice that you can contribute in whatever amount you decide. There's no minimum, and there's not even a drop-down list of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you want. No contribution is too big, and no contribution is too small. Thank you for your consideration as I continue to try to use my time and talents to be obedient to God's call and serve Him through this show, and hopefully help you out in your walk with Him. Andy, go ahead and talk about your time working for the Houston Oilers. How did that come to be? And is it possible that there was a life lesson that maybe you took away from that experience?
Well, after a couple of years at McNeese State, there was a student trainer that I worked with that had already worked with the Oilers for a couple of years as a student intern. And I always thought that was be something really cool to do, you know, that give me some exposure that I needed. And he said, well, he's just, you know, write a letter and, you know, we'll see what happens. And maybe you'll get picked for the, you know, for the next training camp. And sure enough, you know, I submitted my application, wrote a letter explaining why I wanted to be, you know, a student intern with the Oilers, and got a phone call and was happy to join him for the 1986 training camp, which was an awesome experience in itself. You know, what 20-year-old, 21-year-old wouldn't want to be in the middle of an NFL training camp. And so it actually parlayed into a little bigger role the following year. And in 87, I was chosen to be the assistant to the athletic trainer throughout the season. So I commuted back and forth from McNeese to Houston, you know, throughout the season.
And I'm sure you learned a lot more about athletic training, but any life lessons, anything that really kind of surprised you maybe that you were able to take away from that experience with them?
You know, I was really surprised at how, you know, I guess going into working in the NFL, I was thinking, man, I'm going to be around a bunch of overpaid jerks. You know, these guys are going to have tremendous egos, you know, and they're not going to give a crap about me. But I couldn't have been farther from the truth. You know, these guys bent over backwards to show their appreciation.
Wow.
You know, you'd get a little Christmas card at the end of the season, wow, you know, with a little cash in it showing, hey, thank you for all you've done this year. We know you don't make much money doing this, but, you know, we appreciate you. And it showed that there's a lot of humility in some of these guys, you know, and they really appreciated things like that.
Well, and clearly it did make an impression on you that here you are all these years later, and it meant so much that you still remember that. And that's something you go back to. So they, whether they knew it or not at the time, they were really making a good human gesture that really made an impression on you.
There's really some standout guys that I'll never forget on that team. Mike Golick was a great great person to be around. He was a Notre Dame graduate. He's been on ESPN for 30-something years. You know, he did Mike and Mike in the Morning. And, you know, he's been a personality for ESPN for a long time. But I remember him when he was a rookie defensive lineman, you know, in the NFL, you know, and came from humble beginnings, you know, came from a great athletic family. But, you know, great guy, always cracking jokes with me. You know, he was always on my table to be taped, you know, and it was always, you know, some kind of joke, you know, that we had that particular day or something.
So after the Oilers, you went on to athletic training roles with LSU for football and baseball, and then you eventually returned to McNeese State. So what made you walk away from all that?
Well, with the Oilers, it was a 2-year internship, and that hitch ended. And I was still a student at McNeese. And in 1988, I transferred to LSU. I was dating someone at the time, and we ended up getting engaged and later getting married. But she was already a student at LSU, and I made the decision to transfer. Lost a ton of credits in the process. Set me back a little bit in my process of towards graduation, but gained some great experiences at LSU. Walked in there and didn't have a spot in the athletic training room to start off. I walked in cold off the street, talked to the head athletic trainer there and said, look, I'm transferring to LSU. Is there some way I can contribute in your training room? And he's like, wait, you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, you've got all these credentials. Yeah, I think I could find a spot for you. And then, you know, I worked the football season of 89 at LSU, and there was a spot where the guy who was the head trainer for the baseball team moved over across the street to the basketball team, which opened the spot for me in baseball. I did have a little experience at McNeese with baseball, and I fit right in with the LSU baseball team, which was probably my single greatest moment in athletic training. Any particular team that I was with, I've got some of the best memories with that team for those 2 years, because we built some lifelong friendships. Those guys on that baseball team, they treated me as, and still do, treated me as one of the team, you know, like just like one of the players. You know, we were a family, and that family was really fostered by Coach Skip Bertman, who he didn't have any sons of his own, but we were all his boys, you know, and he treated us as such. You know, we were his boys.
So with the way that it sounded like everything was going for you, why did you walk away from a career in athletic training?
Well, you know, the 91 baseball season, we won the national championship. It was a very bittersweet year for me. Although winning a championship should be a highlight of your year.
Yeah.
I also went through a divorce that year. You know, it really kind of, I was at a low point in my life, but I was also at a crescendo in my life. And it just, if it wasn't for that team and Coach Bertman and, you know, some other people, it could have been really pretty tragic for me. I owe God all credit in the world for getting me through that year, because without him, I don't know where I'd be today. It was hard dealing with adversity, going through a divorce at an early age like that. And I learned some lessons from that, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and so clearly it was time for some changes, and one of them was walking away from athletic training.
Yeah, I did, because I needed income. I needed a little more income than a student income.
Gotcha.
When we were married, we were both on student incomes. So I did walk away from athletic training. I hadn't graduated yet. I had a lot of loose ends in my life. I stayed in Baton Rouge for another 3 years. I sold cars. I worked for a private investigator. I did a lot of odd jobs to make ends meet. And then in 94, I think it was 94, my old boss at McNeese State, Jim Murphy, contacted me, and he had left McNeese for a while, went off to do physical therapy work, I think in El Paso at the time. And he called me and said, oh, look, I'm coming back to McNeese. He said, I know you haven't graduated yet. How about joining me? You know, he said, I'll help you any way I can financially. And, you know, we'll work towards you becoming a graduate assistant. We'll get you graduated and then you become a graduate assistant. How's that sound? I said, that's docked. Wow. You don't know what that means to me because I really need my degree. I got to finish that. So, yeah, I went back to McNeese and graduated there in 96 with a Bachelor of Science and stayed on for another year, worked on my master's, and then eventually I just got kind of burned out on athletic training.
Well, but still, it sounds like the Holy Spirit was really present there and moved in that turmoil that your life was suffering from, and all of a sudden sent this guardian angel, which was your former boss, to say, hey, why don't you come back and let's get you finished up.
That's right. God's opened a lot of doors for me, and I give credit to him for everything that's happened in my life.
Amen.
It's God's will is a funny ride. It can really be quite a journey.
Amen. So fast forward to present day, although I should say I wish we could have done this interview, say, 2 or 3 months ago, because this episode is coming out after your Catholic Men's Conference has taken place. But it is an annual event, so tell the audience about what you and your team do each year.
Sure. You know, we started in 2018 was our first men's conference. My pastor, Father Sinclair Oob, approached me one day and said, he says, I'm really interested in hosting a men's conference here at St. Francis. He says, would you be interested in helping me out? And it was me and a couple other guys sitting around. We were planning a retreat at the time. And none of us had really heard of a men's conference, didn't know what it was. We had a lot on our plates at the time. But, man, it put a little ping on my heart. And although I didn't give him an answer at the time, it never lost my mind. A couple weeks later, I called him after Mass. I said, hey, Father, I said, you know, I'm really interested in doing this men's conference. I'm really interested in looking into this a little bit further. He says, I said, I'm all in. I'm all ears. Tell me what you want to do. Come on, let's go to my office right now. I'm going to show you my ideas, you know. So it sprung from there. And we started looking into speakers, and our first speaker was Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers, dynamic deacon. He was fantastic. He lit the room on fire. And it propelled itself to the next year with Father Larry Richards. This past year we had Bear Wozniak. Well, past month rather, Bear Wozniak came in and did a phenomenal job as our third presenter, and I'm already planning for number four. You know, it's in the works.
Fantastic. And listeners, of course, you know Bear Wozniak was a guest on this show, and he was kind enough to have me as a guest on his show. Andy, you are also very involved with the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, I've been very involved with the Knights. Here in the last couple of years, not quite so much because of the amount of things I've got on my plate right now. But in the past, I was I'm a past Grand Knight over in my hometown of Vinton. And that was a really great experience, being a Grand Knight, because it was really my first true taste in Catholic leadership. And it's a service. It's absolutely a service where at some point in your life, you have to step up and be the person for others. You know, you can't always be the guy sitting out the chair listening. You have to sometimes take your turn and do your bit at service. And it really propelled me towards other things in my Catholic faith life.
Amen. And I'm here to echo what Andy said, because listeners, hopefully you know my story by now. And as I've said, this is my ministry. I don't get paid to do this, but I felt on my heart that God said, Bruce, you have all this experience in sports. You've been a Catholic your whole life. You have all this experience in broadcasting and with my music podcast that I've been doing for more than 6.5 years now. You have all this equipment. Why not do it? We always hear in church, time and talent. You can at least give back with your time and talent. And so it was time for me to step up and say, okay, how can I possibly lead more people closer to Christ through all I know, sports, Catholic faith, broadcasting/podcasting, and here we are with Catholic Sports Radio. And Andy, as we get ready to wind down this episode, take us a little closer into the journey that you're on to the permanent diaconate.
You know, everything is through discernment. We have to really spend time with God and let him show us our paths in life. None of my bad decisions in life was ever preceded by prayer. I'll tell you that. I've made some bad choices, bad decisions, and I guarantee you every one of those, I never sat down and prayed about those decisions before I made them. So saying that, you know, we have to discern. We have to listen to God. And right now he's telling me your course is to take the path of the permanent diaconate. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be a permanent deacon yet. It just means that I'm taking the steps to prepare for, you know, for that program, which is a lot of coursework online. And it takes up a lot of personal time. So you have to be dedicated to do that. Hopefully I make that next step and enter the program. That's where I'm heading in that direction. That's where I feel God is calling me. That could change. I don't know, but it's God's will, not mine. And, other than that, I want to take 1 minute just to say that, you know, working in athletics prepared me for a lot of things later in life, because without working in athletics, I never would have had some of the discipline that I needed to get through some things in life. You know, athletes practice. They practice to become very good at what their role is with the team. You know, whether you're a quarterback, you're a defensive back, you're a point guard, you're a designated hitter, it doesn't matter. You practice for that position, and that's how you get better. As Catholics, we practice. Practicing Catholics, we practice our faith to get us further along in our faith, because God calls us to be saints. Am I a saint? Not even close. But I won't get there if I don't practice. So he calls us all to be saints, but we have to practice our faith every day. And we're going to fall. We're going to trip. We're going to get back up. And hopefully we've got brothers around us to help us along that journey, you know, to help pick us up and lift us up and keep us moving forward, because that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to be men of faith, men of action.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Andy, thank you for being on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you. And audience, let's make sure that we lift up Andy in prayer as he continues to discern his call to the permanent diaconate. Andy, thank you again for your time. Really enjoyed having you on the show.
Bruce, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Listeners, it's been a while that we have done our sportsman's prayer. So let's close this episode with that one and do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.